Oh yeah, here's Craig. I was gonna say, bear with me. I only have one hand, so might be a little bit slower than normal.
It's the sound of one hand clapping.
As you all know, I wasn't here last week. I had a bad car accident, so had to take the week off.
You are stronger than death.
That's true.
Undefeated.
This is, and Shane, I've been, we kind of alluded to this last week. This is the Royal Rumble when Cody Rhodes comes back with the torn pec muscle and it's just purple and he wrestles a whole match with it.
And this Ryan's going to be 3 hours of fantasy content right now.
Yeah, here it is. Main event. And this is episode 70, TH Fantasy. I'm Tony. Shane's here. Ryan's back. Ryan's back.
I'm back from baby. The dead.
Craig's here. Craig also, you know, survivor. Many things.
He's a cockroach, bro. You can't kill him.
No, that's true. I think that's what we all attain to be. We just want to be unkillable. And speaking of segments that'll never die, let's do a 70. So Ryan has two. Shane has one. I have one. Ryan, why don't you lead us with one? And then we'll rob him.
Let's just get a Hall of Famer out of the way.
Sure.
An offensive tackle. 6'7", 270 pounds, Mr. Rayfield Wright.
That's a good name.
That's a big boy.
Yeah. Nicknamed the Big Cat. Because he was that big and he had nimble feet. He played for the Cowboys 13 seasons. Played in 5 Super Bowls with them during the 70s and won 2 of them. He also was a participant in the Ice Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah. That was his rookie season in 1967.
Players didn't hate the cold. Back then, players were men.
Yep. They lived in the ice.
Like I said, he played 13 seasons, more than 200 games at right tackle. 6 NFC championship games, 5 Super Bowls, winning 2 of them. He anchored the line for an offense that finished in the top 10 in scoring all 10 seasons in the 1970s, and helped pave the way for 5 of the first 1,000-yard rushers in Cowboys history. I don't know, Tony, do you know any of them in the 70s?
That was Dorsett, I would assume, right?
Probably. He played on the most important spot on the offensive line, which helped the opponent's pass rush.
Sure. Assisted them in their not getting to the quarterback.
He was a big, strong guy who was able to transfer his size and strength from tight end to tackle. He also had such quick feet, he was able to deal with some of the faster defensive ends and even some of the linebacker blitzes.
Cat-like.
Yep. Made the Hall of Fame, I'm assuming, because of a lot of his Super Bowl and 70s era Cowboys stuff.
You think he did cocaine?
Dude, he's on the Cowboys in the 70s.
I'm saying.
He probably did like all of it too, because he was 270 pounds.
No, didn't you hear about Hollywood? Do you remember Hollywood Henderson?
No.
He's a terrible human being. Like, he did some abhorrent things. Like, I would need to put a content warning on this podcast to describe some of the things that he did. But he also won the lottery twice and completely disintegrated his septum because he did so much cocaine.
Oh, my God. That's what happens when you win the lottery twice.
In the Super Bowl, he smuggled cocaine in an inhaler and was doing puffs of cocaine.
You're right. I think we talked about this.
Yeah, you guys did talk about him.
Yeah.
He's That's brutal. A man's man.
That's so he's hanging out with the Big Cat.
Yeah. So later on in life, he was an assistant coach for the Arizona Rattlers, as we all know, the Arena Football League.
So he was still doing coke.
He got involved with a lot of the at-risk inner city youth in the Arizona area. And he was actually appointed to the juvenile Supreme Court in Arizona.
Think he stole cocaine from the
from
the evidence room.
I'm tired of paying for this shit.
The long con.
So he started the Rayfield Wright Foundation, which provided cocaine to the at-risk youth. No, I'm just kidding. It provided grants so at-risk youth could go to college. I thought that was really cool. And like most of the players we know that we've talked about in previous episodes, he battled what was called early onset dementia, aka CTE.
Sure.
The result of numerous head injuries he had from his 13 seasons playing in the NFL. He claimed to have suffered several concussions throughout his career, struggled with memory loss, and claimed to have been in several car accidents caused by seizures.
Oh my God.
And actually joined former NFL players in 2015 to sue in a class action lawsuit against the NFL.
Yeah.
For head trauma causing degenerative brain disease.
Yep. And all they got out of that was a Will Smith movie.
Yep. Tragically, he actually died earlier last year at age of 76.
Oh.
So yeah, that's Hall of Famer Rayfield Wright.
That's that was a uplifting way to start the show.
Yeah.
Let's, Shane, you want to do the next one?
Yeah, I'll do mine.
What do you got?
So mine also, I picked him out of the hat because I was like, someone's going to do O-line. I don't know the old guys. I got to dig into this Marinus Trench of weird, right? I got to go through my genealogy and go white trash with a NASCAR guy.
Okay.
So I chose Charlie Glotchback.
Charlie Glotchback. I know my NASCAR and I've never heard of this guy.
He was a part-timer, so okay. He's also known as Charging Charlie or Charging Comet, because I don't think anybody during the 70s actually knew how to pronounce Glotchback, so that just gave him a nickname. So the reason I chose Charlie is because he won the qualifier for the Daytona 500 on February 19th, 1970, and then he finished in fourth place, leading in 36 laps and winning $5,800, which is $56,000 in today's money.
Hey, nice. Charlie.
Yeah, nice. So he won the Automobile Racing Club of America Rookie of the Year in 1964, and while he was a part-time NASCAR driver, he also ran a trucking company. So how we always kind of talk, or you guys always talk about all the part-timers back in the 70s of football players being like, I was a steel worker, and I played for the Steelers, and then I made $80 every game. So,
hey, you know, fourth or last, you know.
That's true. Hey, he got paid.
Yeah.
So in 1969, Charlie fired an employee, and his employee brought a gun to their job site afterwards, and he shot Charlie twice, once in the stomach and once in the arm. So he had broken ribs, what? and he had a bullet lodged in his arm. So when he came back in 1970 to race, when he won the qualifier for the Daytona 500, he had a bullet in his arm.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you think your arm's bad, Ryan?
Yeah, shit.
Even though he didn't really view racing as a priority in his time, he had 4 wins, 50 top tens, and won 12 poles throughout his career. And he holds 2 records, one at the Bristol Motor Speedway for the fastest completed time of 2 hours and 38 minutes with an average speed of 101 miles an hour. And he also set the world record in Talladega in 1969 for driving 199 miles an hour, which hundreds of enlisted military men and women are trying to accomplish today at 28.5% APR.
You know what it reminds me of? Like, remember that Simpsons episode when Homer pretends to be Krusty and the mob's shooting at the car? And he's like, yeah. These are speed holes that make the car go faster. Like, you think the bullet holes in his body allowed him to go just a little bit faster? Like, he was a mod? He was modded out?
It definitely made it more aerodynamic.
Yeah. After he retired, he didn't retire, but like he took a hiatus, he opened a truck sales company called Charlie's Truck Sales in Sellersburg, Indiana. So he definitely does feel like a Simpsons character with how on the nose everything that he does is.
Right.
He raced in a charity race, which is his last one, in 2010 at the age of 72.
Oh, wow.
He didn't finish the race.
Oh, no.
Did he die?
No, he T-boned somebody when they hit the wall. So,
oh, okay. Oh my God.
It was a little on topic. And I was like, all right, let me make sure this guy lives and then I can bring this to the podcast. I thought
you were going to say like he had a heart attack while
that's what I thought too.
No, he died in 2021, though, but not from the accident. I think he had like a stroke or something. Wikipedia was like very vague, and I had to do a whole bunch of research because like 9 people in the world know who this guy is, including us and now our viewers. So.
This is, oh man, that's a good one.
Yeah.
So that's one more time.
Charlie Glotchback.
Charlie Glotchback. That's awesome.
Oh yeah.
I have a great name too. So I have a 70. It's so funny because, you know, Ryan and I, you know, talk about how excited we were to get out of the 50s and 60s because it was all offensive linemen. And like we both picked offensive linemen.
Now that we're in 70. It's like, what are you supposed to do, right?
And so I also have a Dallas Cowboys offensive lineman, Ryan.
What?
So let's head to the 70s. We're going to get some. I found a 70, still plays lineman, and he has no touchdowns, no cool stats, but I like the story a lot. This is sometimes guard, sometimes tackle Leonard Davis, Dallas Cowboy.
Okay.
He graduated from Wortham High School, which is a tiny school east of Dallas. They had 133 students currently on their population and 15 teachers, which is like, man, that's fucking sick.
I think you teach 113 people per classroom now, don't you?
It's those are the split classes, yeah.
Okay.
We just do it in the gym.
Yeah.
And I only have 8 books. So Leonard actually is the only child between his mother and father, but he had 21 half siblings.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. His dad had 11, his mom had 10, all from other partners. I have no idea. So, something crazy here I found. Leonard and his half-brother, Charlie Davis. So, like Wikipedia, you know, famous people from this school. Leonard's on there because he played in the NFL. And his half-brother, Charlie Davis, are also on there. Charlie won a Super Bowl as a defensive player on the Steel Curtain Pittsburgh Steelers.
Damn.
It all comes back to the Steel Curtain.
That's a good gene pool, man.
I'm saying, like, well, you know, 2 out of 22. Like, those. I'd like to believe if I had 11 kids, one of them would go pro.
I sure hope so. That's the Glenn Lerner model, because 2 out of 22 ain't bad.
That's true. All right, so Davis goes on to Texas, plays football. He's on the offensive line. He actually gets to block for future Texas Hall of Famer and Weed Hall of Famer, Ricky Williams. Dominant left tackle in college, highly scouted. And so he actually gets drafted by Arizona in the 2001 NFL draft, 2nd overall, and put at right guard. So here are some of the players they could have gotten instead at pick 2. Richard Seymour, Hall of Famer. LaDainian Tomlinson, Hall of Famer. Steve Hutchinson, Hall of Famer, at left tackle, by the way. And then pick 1 of round 2 that year was Drew Brees. So gonna go ahead and give that a big old oops for Arizona. Hey man,
Chargers had a pretty good draft that year.
Yeah, LT and Drew Brees.
Goddamn. My Madden 2003 team.
Oh, and when was Antonio Gates? Was that like 05, 06?
Something like that. But they were in that time frame.
All right, so this guy, he you know, Leonard Davis, he bounces back and forth along the offensive line in Arizona, gets moved to left tackle when Dennis Green coached, and he sucked. So he was the left tackle during that amazing Bears comeback on Monday night in 2006. Shane, I don't know if you're familiar with this game, but it was like the year the Bears ended up going to the Super Bowl, and Rex Grossman was like the worst quarterback of all time. He threw like 5 interceptions in that game, and they were down 23-7 or something like that, and they returned 2 fumbles for touchdowns, and it was down 23-3. They returned 2 fumbles for touchdowns, and Devin Hester returned a kick or a punt return for a touchdown, and they won 24-23. And like Dennis Green almost had a meltdown. Everyone knows the meltdown. But like the game was insane. So like I rewatched the highlights of that game to see if I could find Leonard Davis, and there he was, missing blocks. So he ends up being cut as a cap casualty and would have been considered a bust, but gets signed by Dallas to a mega contract and became an essential part of those late 2000s Dallas offensive lines, where he became a 3-time Pro Bowler.
Isn't that crazy how people just leave and they just become these all-stars, that something just unlocks in their brain of like, oh, the water's different. I'm good now.
Here, I made it. We went back to Texas. His contract was so huge and it was so front-loaded that in 2017, this guy, Leonard Davis, who I'm sure you didn't know before I started talking, was the highest paid player in the NFL. And he was the 19th highest paid athlete in all of sports in 2007.
Damn.
Like, really? Who the hell is this guy? So he was an all pro, but he gets cut in 2011. He's getting old. His play was declining. And I mean, at that price, what the fuck? Played half a season in Detroit, back up in San Francisco. And he was on that San Francisco team that lost the Super Bowl to Baltimore. The last thing I wanted to say before we leave Leonard Davis, he happens to be the bass player for a heavy metal band. All right.
Okay.
This heavy metal band has Mark Colombo, former Chicago Bear first round bust offensive lineman, on guitar, and two more offensive linemen to round out the group. They're a four offensive lineman rock band.
Dude, don't get crowd really? Killed there. You will die.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That pit is brutal. The band is called Free Reign. They sound like a Christian rock band. So apparently when they were just a two piece, Mark Colombo and then the drummer, they set up in the Cowboys locker room to play some tunes, and that inspired Leonard Davis to learn bass so he could join their band.
That's so sick. They have 10 monthly listeners on Spotify.
They do, and they have 253 followers on YouTube.
Really?
I asked Katie to describe them, and she said stained.
been a while.
I said, yeah, it's been a while, right? I said Three Doors Down.
Three Doors Down is a psyop.
Yeah.
Straight up. Military propaganda, the band.
Oh, yeah. They're all wearing, Ryan, remember fucking Tap Out shirts? They're all wearing Tap Out shirts.
Yeah.
So that is Leonard Davis and Free Reign. That is my number seven.
Hell yeah.
That was a good one.
Ryan, take us home.
All right. So I actually found a defensive end.
Finally.
All right. Let's talk about Mr. Jim Marshall.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Tony probably knows this famous play.
All about it, baby.
But there's a lot of other stuff about Jim Marshall.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. At the time of his retirement, he owned the career record for most career starts, 270, and games played, 282, which still both stands as a record for defensive players. Can anyone guess who surpassed that record? And it was an offensive player.
Was it Joe Thomas?
No, he still owns the record for defensive players, but an offensive player broke it.
For consecutive starts?
Yeah.
Is it a lineman?
No, it's a quarterback.
Is it Brady?
No.
Was it Drew Brees?
No.
I don't know.
Packer.
Is it Rodgers or Favre?
No, Favre.
Okay, I remember that. He broke the record against the Bears, I think.
Nope.
Dude, it's always against you guys. That sucks.
Every time.
Marshall went to Ohio State University and actually got his start playing for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Fuck yeah.
In 1960 before being picked up by the Cleveland Browns. Played from 61 to 1979. And like I said, 282 consecutive games played. Actually says also a punter, Jeff Fiegel, surpassed that too, but we don't count punters. So
yeah, that's whatever. That's not sport. That's not sport.
He was a member of the Minnesota Vikings, the Purple People Eaters.
Correct.
Alan Page. Yep. Alan Page, Marshall, Carl Eller,
Grimace.
Gary Larson. Marshall had 127 career quarterback sacks as a Viking. Second,
and those are retroactive. Those are retroactive sacks because sacks didn't exist
before this. Yeah, this is before stats were being kept track of. The second most in team history, behind his teammate Eller. At the time of his retirement, too, because the Vikings were a new team when he started playing for them. He played in every single Vikings game in history when he retired.
That's so cool.
Yeah, he's one of 11 players to have played in all four of the Vikings Super Bowl appearances in the 1970s.
Lost them all.
Yep.
Go Vikings. Yep. School.
He's in the Hall of Fame. But I think he's most famous for this next play I'm about to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if Shane knows this, but I know Tony knows it.
I do not know it.
Let's talk about the wrong way run. All right? So.
It's so ridiculous.
Marshall was playing in a game against the San Francisco 49ers on October 25th, 1964. After recovering an offensive fumble, Marshall ran 66 yards the wrong way into his own team's end zone. After completing the run, thinking that he scored a touchdown for the Vikings, Marshall then pitched the ball in celebration, and the ball landed out of bounds, resulting in a safety for the 49ers. According to Marshall, when he approached the Vikings head coach, Norm Van Brocklin, afterwards, Van Brocklin said, "Jim, you did the most interesting thing in the game today." Despite the gaffe, the Vikings won 27-22, thanks to a forced fumble by Marshall, which Eller returned for a touchdown.
That video is still legendary because nobody knows what to do.
See, but at the like, this is me being glass half full right now. At least they didn't lose seven, right? It was only two, so you take it for what it is.
Yeah,
right. So as of 2019, that play is ranked number 54 among the NFL's 100 greatest plays. And just to round out this guy's career, he has the most seasons played by a defensive player, 20, tied with Darryl Green and Junior Seau.
Okay.
He has the most complete seasons played by a defensive player at 20, the most consecutive games played by a defensive player at 289, the most consecutive regular season games played by a defensive player, 282, the most consecutive games starts by a defensive player, 277, most fumbles recovered, 30, most opponent fumbles, 29, and obviously the most yardage lost on a fumble recovery, 66. So that's Mr. Jim Marshall.
Oh, that's
famous,
great.
Famous Minnesota Viking known for running the ball into the wrong end zone.
That's like the all time. Like I go to Blockbuster Video and rent like Football Follies when I'm like 10. Like that's opening credit shit, man. Like that's, I hear Yakety Sax while that's playing. All right. So let's take a break. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we're going to cut up Ryan's dynasty team. We're going to at least look at what kind of stuff he could demand if he's trying to tear down.
They're going to nerd out and make me feel bad about my dynasty team.
It's good. It's good.
Bro, my quarterbacks are Daniel Jones and Brock Purdy. I can't say anything to harm you.
I only have Kyler Murray.
Right.
It's all downhill for me. I believe I won the championship the first year we drafted and.
Hey, man, once you win once, you basically pay for 10 years. You're fine.
Yeah, that's true. That's all true. Right, so we'll be back.
True. All right.
Goodbye.
Listen up, recruit. This is General Anxiety of the TH Fantasy Military's Contractor Division, and I'm here to talk to you about freedom. Are you still steaming mad over the British burning down the White House in the War of 1812? Are you ready to teach those pudding-eating fuckers a lesson they'll never forget? The U.S. government recently authorized the TH Fantasy Podcast Network a $400 million grant to show those limeys exactly why we don't have free healthcare. We're looking for recruits to load up their gas mask bongs, take a flight to the UK, and reclaim what's rightfully ours. If you're one of those soft, redcoat sympathizers, listen to 10 seconds of the band Free Reign and prepare to have your mind changed. Now that you're in, visit us on the web at www.freereignthemilitarytheband.co.uk and we'll send you a book filled with information to help us overthrow the British government early this summer. We'll have you back in time for your fantasy drafts, or you can stay in the UK, do your live draft in Westminster Abbey, kick the dusty corpse of Geoffrey Chaucer out of your decision-making seat, and make your pick. Fuck you, Shakespeare. You ever wanted to piss off Big Ben? Tweet something racist in the Tower of London? As a TH Fantasy private contractor, you'll have complete immunity and can bathe in the blood pudding of the evil colonizers. If you're still not convinced, maybe 10 more seconds of the band Free Reign will change your mind, cuck boy. Remember, recruit, the Queen is dead, and Prince Harry's frostbitten penis stands no chance against us. We'll see you on the front lines.
And we're back.
We're back.
We're back.
We made it. We made it past 70, 71 next week. Let's talk about Team Perk Flumpus. So we joined a dynasty startup not too long ago, and it's weird. It's a super flex. It's two tight ends. Full awesome. PPR, you start like a bajillion flexes. And Ryan, you got a team that really, it's got a lot of big names, but I feel like it lacks in depth, and I don't know if it's good enough to get us over the hill.
I don't think so either. I mean, I drafted this team, you know, to win the first year, and I'm pretty sure I did last year, not this year. I was up there this year, but I didn't make it to the championship game, I don't think.
Yeah, it looks like you got semifinals. I think you have 109.
Yeah, I think I lost in that game too. I think I got fourth on the year. But so I got Josh Allen, got Nick Chubb, I got Joe Mixon, got Tyreek. I've got to move Cooper Kupp out of the IR. Got Hunter Henry, Pat Freiermuth, Aaron Jones, Zeke Elliott. I got Brian Robinson. One thing that's, I'm glad I have Josh Allen because I have Garoppolo and Carr on the bench. So I've got to do a lot. I've got to probably try and draft a quarterback this year.
You can probably trade somebody for like a Kenny Pickett type, in my opinion, of like using one of those running backs.
I'm just scared. I just need to get someone because if Josh Allen does get hurt, I'm screwed.
Yes.
I'll just finish the roster. Alexander Mattison, Josh Kelly, Chuba Hubbard, Jarvis Landry, Russell Gage, Kendall Hinton, Rondale Moore, Ben Skowronek, Tyler Conklin, Noah Gray, Jeremy Ruckert, Peyton Hendershot, and Jelani Woods. As you can tell, I love my tight ends.
Hey, in a two tight end league, that's the kind of team you need to have.
And right. I've got Mecole Hardman on IR too, but whatever.
So the way I'm looking at it is this team is good, but it's not going to win in a 12-team super flex league.
Especially with that many starts, right? It's not two wide receiver, two running back. Like if he was just two running back, two wide receiver, two flex, you might be okay to just skirt your way through. But if you're starting multiple players, you're...
And it's not good. It's not good for buys and injuries. Like, shit, if... I mean, I've got, I've got also Rashid Shaheed, but
I love Rashid Shaheed.
I ended up starting him the last week of the year because I had to, but.
Well, so I look at a roster like this and I say to myself, like your car, it's beaten up, but there's so much you can get for these parts.
Mm-hmm.
And so the beauty is that we are going to spend a lot of the next month and a half to 2 months getting ready for rookies. So I feel like this is a strong class to start reloading with.
Okay.
And I mean, obviously, if you want to run it back, because I'm thinking like, I just want to talk through some of these guys and what I think you could or should be getting for them in return.
What picks do you have this year, Ryan?
I'd have to pull that up. Hold on.
Yeah, 109, 309, and 409. No second, and then no first in 2024.
Ugh. That's
fine, baby.
That's a little rough.
Yeah.
But what a true friend, though. You're going to help him build his roster, so he's not giving you the 101.
I gave up. I know I gave up at least one of those picks because I got Brian Robinson.
That makes sense for the second.
That was the trade I did during this year.
Yeah. So... we got to start with Josh Allen, right? I traded Josh Allen away in a dynasty and I got three firsts, but those three firsts are now, 112, 112, 112 because that person wins a championship with Josh Allen in Superflex Dynasty usually. Nobody's trading for Josh Allen to be in the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
Sure.
But because of that, like, I still think Josh Allen is you center your rebuild on getting rid of Josh Allen.
Well, it's like we talked about last week. Nobody's untradeable, right? That's just bad process. Everybody has a price. You just have to make sure you get that price where you can build your team around that, right?
Well, let me see if I can pull up the trade that I was offered.
Yeah, let's blast somebody right now.
For Allen.
Some fucking idiot.
It was Josh Allen. And I would get Brandon Ayuk, Kenny Pickett, a 2023... round 2, number 7, and 2023, round 1, number 2, from Tony.
That's not from me. Oh, that's my pick. Okay.
It was your pick, yeah.
Right.
And he had it.
So Ayuk, Pickett.
2 seconds?
No, a first and a second.
102 and then 207.
I mean, 102 is a quarterback, right? So it kind of depends how you value Kenny Pickett and Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, right? Where it's after watching these quarterbacks, I think they're QB2s with potential QB1 ceiling on a good day, but I don't see the locked and loaded.
It wasn't ready to go. Yeah, it wasn't like super enticing to me. I thought about it. I will say I thought about it. I remember I texted Tony. I'm like, what do you think of this?
I would want more. If it was me, my dream return in that situation is Pickett, 102, and then another first.
Or a different wide receiver and a tier above Ayuk.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. A good point.
And I think there's no reasonable way that you could walk away from a trade like that if it was 3 firsts or 2 firsts and a starting quarterback.
Or if it's like instead of Pickett, it's Dak.
Yeah. You don't want to tear down that much.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, I think if you're tearing down right now to start building up assets to win later, there's no shame in starting Garoppolo and Derek Carr.
No, they're both going to start somewhere.
That's true.
And if you're getting high first picks, you're going to draft Stroud. You're going to draft Young, depending on where it goes. Like, you might even Anthony Richardson and hold and hope that the lotto ticket hits.
Because as of right now, on February 17th, Anthony Richardson, based on sleeper ADP, is the 109.
There you go. So, and I know you haven't watched it. But
if you're ready to bake, let him cook in the taxi squad for 3 years.
It's a real weird tape, man, but it's a lot of fun to watch. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
Yeah. and so, Ryan, I'm looking at some of your assets and like, I want to believe that Kupp could fetch you a first. But I feel like the best offer you're going to get is going to be a low.
See,
yeah. I think if he would have finished out the season, I could probably get a lot more from him. Mm-hmm. Cuz I think everyone's going to be on the regression train now.
It is a regression train, but I think
especially with the way the Rams looked at the end of last year.
I think it's going to be more quarterback dependent, where if Matt Stafford retires because of his spinal or neurological injury that he has, that's going to be the real tipping point for me.
But Shane, is that like actually like a, they're saying he might not come back?
I don't know what it is. They've been really radio silent, but I know he has like a spinal injury and it's like, yeah, I don't know if they should him. I think they shut both everybody down. They shut him down. They shut Kupp down. They shut Donald down, because why risk injury on a team when you're just tanking, right? Like, I think it was more of a corporate move than a we're going to play football move. Right. Because I'm looking at some trade values right now, and Cooper Kupp's valued as like a mid first. And
that'd be so sick.
I luckily, before the injury happened, I flipped him for Drake London and what is now the 104.
Jesus.
Oh, no, sorry. The 106. Sorry.
Still good.
Yeah. But that was navigating someone who believed in the roster and me before the season starting, getting out before what I could see of me being in last place.
Right.
Well, like, I still think Cooper Kupp is a good asset, even though he's on the cusp of 30. So is Adams. So is Tyreek. And they still have the juice, right? I think it's just going to be QB dependent.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I'm trading Kupp, I want a first. And, like, I look at your other receivers, right? So you got Tyreek. You got Shaheed. But then you've got Skowronek, Kendall Hinton, Russell Gage, Jarvis Landry, and the crown jewel, Rondale Moore. So, like, to me, if I'm trading Cooper Kupp, I want a first-round draft pick, and I want a wide receiver that's better than Jarvis Landry, Russell Gage, Kendall Hinton, or Ben Skowronek. You know what I mean?
Like a Zay Jones, right? Like, he's not right, exciting, yeah. But someone will, like, basically be like, okay, that's not enough for me to be upset to give away, but it's enough to kind of be like, okay, they have top 25 upside.
Yeah. Like, Ryan, I would offer you with my team, like, I have, let's see, 108. I would give you 108 and Rashad Bateman for Cooper Kupp, I think would be like a fair trade on a teardown. I think you could, I still think you could get better, but I think that that would be like a realistic return.
And 108 right now on this ADP is Jordan Addison, which I think is a fine two compartmentalized trade for an elite wide receiver.
Right. And I think that if you really wanted to get messy with this, Ryan, and you traded Allen, Tyreek Hill, and Cooper Kupp, you're going to end up with 3 to 4 first round picks this year and hopefully like 3 next year. Or, I would hope, or 2 next year.
That, yeah. Or you could tear down like to like a, say, a Joe Burrow or like a Kyler Murray type where, yeah. They're not really doing much for you next year, this year, but you can get packages, right? Like, where I think people are so tied to picks this year because everybody's throat goat in the 23 class, yeah. Where you might have to just take the L this year and not restock on 23 picks and just take 24 picks if that's what is going to be the market.
Right.
Because it just depends how married people are to these picks and how sharp they are with more ADP, where more people are prone to get rid of picks next year because they don't know where it's going to be. Like, it is a risk for you as a bag holder, but like, are you really going to get a lot of value out of, say, like the Joe Mixon types or the Aaron Jones, where they're people more or less see them as like not draft trap, but like approaching second round draft capital. So it's like, do you take, cause this is, I had a trade this year where I traded Kenny Pickett. I had the option of doing the 110 or a 24 first. And I said, I'd just rather take the 24 because two spots later isn't really worth that much to me, especially when there's tier breaks this year of 104 to like 108 and then 110 to 202, right? They're all those players are replaceable. So right. I think it's just going to have to come down to chasing the right home for those players if you want to tear completely down, right? So if you want to get rid of the Chubbs, because I still think Chubb is a buy. Like, he's not exciting or sexy, but he's stable. You know what his floor is. Like, do you know how that offense runs? He doesn't have a lot of wear and tear, even though he has high carry numbers. Like, I still think he's got a couple years left.
Yeah. I think Chubb and Mixon. And I mean, Zeke, you're not going to get anything for Zeke. You're going to get like a late second and you're going to like it.
Like a 206.
But I'm looking at Shane. What calculator are you using right now?
I'm using Peaked in high school. I think even though his algorithm does get a little weird sometimes, I think he has a more or less reasonable take compared to KTC, where KTC has the difference between 101, which is Bijan, and 103, which could be Bryce or Stroud as Malik Willis. And that's just not the case. That you're going to need at least like another first within that threshold to get to the 101 point. So I use Peaked. I use DFL. I do use KTC as like a kind of a litmus test to see like where the spikes are happening and kind of gauging where it's at, but Peaked is like my number one source.
I'm looking at DLF right now, Dynasty League Football, who I just paid to subscribe to. And they're saying that they're putting Cooper Kupp at about the 105 for 2023.
Which is fair. You know what I mean? That could be, I know we're a Will Levis hater, but if your only quarterback is Josh Allen, if he pops for 2 games, you can flip that. You know what I mean? You're not married to the player.
Like, and Ryan, I really think, man, if you were going to have a fire sale, like The reason why I'm looking at your team and saying like this team is a screaming sell right now is just because your depth is so low. Like,
yeah.
And you, like you said, bye weeks.
I'm going to struggle with injuries and bye weeks, I think. And probably the best time to sell, to try and get a bunch of picks, at least maybe for like 2024 even.
Yeah.
Because people, I think, will be more willing to give away 2024 picks because it's not right now.
Yeah. Nobody really knows the class. I mean, the locked in people know the class, or even people who like are scouting right now. I can pick and choose like, okay, this quarterback's going to be drafted next year. I can kind of see what they're doing, but my main focus isn't those players, right? It's just, it's kind of noise to what I'm focusing on right now. Right. But I'm looking at the peaked chart right now, and Nick Chubb is valued as the same as DK Metcalf and like 3 points above Devonta Smith. Where like, if you could find a competitor who wants to push for a title and you can get Devonta Smith for Chubb, I think you smash that every day of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Just for team structure. And
Who's got Devonta Smith in this league, Tony?
Well, let's find out. I can do that.
This is, you're technically taking the L on quote-unquote value on points-wise, but you're still gaining what you need to for your team. Where I would rather have someone be pissy and be like, hey, I need a fourth on this trade. And then I'm like, okay, you can take the fourth and think you won the trade, and then we can just move on with our day, and that way I'm happy with my build, and you can feel like you beat me in the trade, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Where so many people have this. I mean, I'm not assuming for this league, but I'm assuming for a general population of league, if people want to win the trade at all costs, where it's like, no, this needs to be an instance where we both benefit, right? Where
right.
My tactic is I always hit him with the compliment sandwich of like, hey, your team's really good. I think you can push. Sometimes it's a little bit of a fluffing on my job to make sure that they believe in their team more than they do. But here's where you have depth issues, and here's how I solve your depth issue, and this is what I need in return. And I kind of work that way, and I tend to have more success with that as opposed to, I mean, sometimes you do have to just blast out offers and see what hits.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ryan and Shane, JDav22, so that's Joey and Joey's friend. The problem is that they don't have a lot of wide receivers behind Devonta.
They're in a rebuild too?
No, their team is real weird. Like, they have Trevor Lawrence and Mac Jones, ironically. But they have Ramondre, Isaiah Pacheco, Amon-Ra, and then Cam Akers with Jonathan Taylor on IR. So like, they're in a weird middle ground right here. And so like, I don't know, I wouldn't mind, you know, I would definitely pitch to him like a Chubb for Devonta and see what sticks, because I think that's a fair trade.
Or you kick him multiple assets, right? Of like, hey, I give you Chubb, Joe Mixon and Zeke for Devonta and like something Ramadre. Else, right? Yeah.
Devonta and Ramondre, maybe.
I mean, if you're going like full rebuild, like I think Ramondre is a little bit overpriced right now. I think he's a little heavy on the side because Peaked has him as like 107, which I think is, I mean, I was talking to Tony off the air about this, is I am so zero RB brain where this draft class is so difficult for me to view as prospects because most of my teams are perpetual rebuilds. And like the number one, like little notification is, hey, no running backs of quality in a rebuild, even though they still have a 3 to 5 year window. So it's right. Kind of that nuance of, cause what Ramondre is, what, on his third season?
Yes.
I mean, it's his backfield to lose next year, and he showed that he can do it. So, I mean, I think Ramondre is a buy high right now, where it's kind of tricky.
For me, the thing about Ramondre Stevenson right now is he is one of the guys that I think could suffer from an off-season running back signing. I mean, Damian Harris is a free agent, so what if they bring him back? What if they don't? What if they went and signed, like Ryan, you and I talked about it, what if they bring in like David Montgomery?
Yeah, true.
Like, that's a guy, like, right now you're looking at, I think looking at the player is important, but also looking at, like, the trajectory of where the player's going in terms of their scheme, right? Like, Tyreek crushed, but next year, like, who's to say this is another Tyreek insane year? What if Tua gets, you know, we've been talking about Tua and how he should be fucking retiring all offseason.
Right.
Like, if you're telling me you can get two firsts for a guy who's probably the best in the league at what he does, but at the same time is in a situation that is a little shaky, and you can give me two dart throws at a quarterback or, you know, or two wide receivers, two running backs, like, I'm probably going to take the dart throws right now.
Yeah. Especially with that team structure where I'd rather take the dude who has the probability to hit as opposed to the declining asset.
Right. Sure. And like Aaron Jones, that's a dude that I want to get off of too right now, because he just got, you know, today they just said they're renewing or they're keeping him on the team. So like, that's where I'm like, hey, who won the championship last year? Okay, cool. You want to win it again? Here's Aaron Jones. Give me a second and a third.
Or your 24 first. Just be like, hey, it's going to be 112. Right. And I'll kick you back a third or a fourth, whatever.
Yeah. I think like I said, it's depending on how much you want to ship out. But I really think with your bench being the way it is, I would just be shredding and selling for parts at this point. Like, and guess what? You have some fucking awesome parts, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you might be starting next year. Your receivers might be Rashid Shaheed and Rondale Moore. But like, yeah, your taxi squad will be fucking insane, you know? So I'm excited to see what you do. My team in that league is, I have three first round picks. I'm very excited. And like I was telling Shane off air, I have every wide receiver ever. So if you're ever interested, wondering where Michael Pittman, AJ Brown, Deebo Samuel, Treylon Burks, Michael Gallup, Nico Collins, Rashad Bateman, Jahan Dotson, George Pickens. If you were ever like, where are those guys?
You got them,
baby. They're mine.
So my, when I have 101 in this league, my super flex league where I came in last, this is an in earnest start in week 17. I started Taylor Heineke, Donta Foreman, Jamichael Hasty, Drake London, Rashid Shaheed, Elijah Moore, Dalton Schultz, Alec Pierce, DK Metcalf, Tom Brady. I had literally nobody else to start.
That's
funny.
I hate to say it, man, but I got you beat. I have the worst dynasty team in existence. If they had a competition.
Is this your Josh Allen team?
It was. So this is after the season ended and I put all my good guys back in the roster that were hurt. So I have Carson Wentz. I have Rashad White. Chuba Hubbard was my starting running back. Jameson Williams, last few weeks only. Jahan Dotson, Greg Dulcich, Treylon Burks, a freshly unsuspended Calvin Ridley, Kadarius Toney. Ready for this? This is where it gets fun. Nick Foles was my QB2. Brett Rippon. Tyler Huntley, Pro Bowler.
That's true.
Had a Pro Bowl quarterback. Melvin Gordon, Rashad Penny, Chase Edmonds, Eno Benjamin, James Robinson, Quez Watkins, Marquez Callaway, KJ Osborne, Nick Westbrook, Akine, Rondale Moore, Donald Parham, and Trey McBride. So I did some work this last draft with getting Jameson, Dotson, Dulcich, Burks.
Yeah, dude, if we weren't true degenerates, I would just say, you know what? Just leave.
That's just the most expensive league. That's the most expensive league. But I made it a point. I'm like, no. We're doing this. Like, we're doing this for real.
You trust the process. That's why we watch tape, because you can put your bet on yourself to be like, hey, I watched this dude for fucking 12 games. I'm taking him. He's going to make my team not be dog shit.
Yep. And so it's a slow burn, right? Like, that's the wonders of Dynasty is like you get to rebuild and think about down the line. Just, it's fun, man. That's why it's more fun than redraft. I want to play in as many Dynasty leagues as possible.
Redraft is just ADHD. Like, it's cool to feel like the championship, but like when you make like a true competitive team that's multi-year up there, it feels like you know what you're doing. You're like, all right, I have good process and I have good analysis to keep this continually rolling through, as opposed to like, I hit big on Donta Foreman and Devonta Freeman these weeks.
Sure. That's what happens. Like, you play the game and you're like, this isn't enough. I want to do something a little more intense. Yeah. So Ryan, I'm excited. I want to see what you come up with, because honestly, bro, I think if you went to your roster right now and you hit the add to trade block on like five or six guys, your DMs are going to blow up.
Oh yeah, let's talk over some pizza on Sunday.
Okay, perfect. Sounds great. That was fun. That was episode 70.
Hell nice. Yeah. Some very good informative information from Shane. I like it.
Shane, you're gonna have to come back soon.
Yeah. I'm trying, man. Like, I'm trying to watch all these guys. I watched your dudes that you want me to watch. I'm trying to catch up.
We could get like a really long episode going too. All we got to do is have Waleed come in here. it'd be like 3 hour episode.
We could. We'd only get to talk about one guy though.
Justin Fields.
Justin Fields. Yeah. So next week, yeah, we should talk. I don't know, Ryan. Depending on how you're feeling, I think we should talk some prospects. Maybe I could take a pause from what I'm doing right now with running backs and wide receivers, and maybe next week we could all come and talk some tight ends.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
I think maybe that's what we should do next week. Next week should be tight end week.
Okay, I have to completely switch over because I've not ever scouted a tight end, so I'm going to have to slow burn back in.
It's so fun to watch tight end tape.
I like it. Is there a lot, though? Because there's some players where I have to sift through the bowels of the internet.
There's more than you think.
Okay. Yeah, and it's because, like, they block.
Okay.
You're going to be like, you know, like me last year where I spent, like, a good 2 hours of my life watching Cole Turner block.
Yeah.
He's not good at it.
I got really interested. I ended up watching, like, more tight end tape last year than anything. That's why
I remember that.
I did a lot. that's why I, like, did pretty good at seeing a lot of this draft class this year.
See, but that's what we need, though, is like everybody wants to hit the big guy. Everybody wants the Bijan. We're like, you got to win in the trench. I need the depth guy in the third round to be like, okay, that's my Travis Kelce in the next 3 years, right? Like that's where the draft matters. I don't give a shit about the first round. As much as we talk about getting first round draft capital, I want the third and second picks.
Yep. Plus it's fun. Like I remember when I watched like tape on like Grant Calcaterra. And then, like, he caught a touchdown in the NFL. And I was like, oh, yes, this is awesome.
I know that guy, kind of. Yeah, so let's do that. Let's plan on a tight end week. I'm going to try to watch. My goal will be to watch five tight ends.
Five tight ends. Okay. I'll do my best.
I've heard, Ryan, you might not know this. I've heard possibility of three tight ends in the first round this year.
Really?
Yep.
It's Kincaid, Mayer, and...
Are you guys
Musgrave?
Yeah, Musgrave too. Yeah,
Darnell Washington.
Washington might be a second. I'm hearing like crazy tight end class, Ryan.
Dude, Darnell Washington, 6'7", 270.
We may need to record on Thursday if you guys are fine with that.
Yeah,
yeah, that works for me.
Life is good.
I might still be going to Wisconsin. I had planned a ice fishing trip before I got in my accident, and I think my family's still going, but they'll just tow me around on a sled. So, it'll be fun, but I think we're leaving on Friday, and then cool. I have physical therapy the following Monday, so I won't be able to do it Monday.
Thursday's good. Maybe catch us in your feeds earlier. Shane, always a pleasure. Can't wait to
see
you next week. Come back. I'm just extending you permanent open invite. Just come back. Whatever.
Yeah, right on. Whenever you want, man.
Sounds good. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Of course. And Ryan, we're glad you're here. Craig was worried sick. And we're back. I know you and Craig, you have a love-hate relationship, but we're all happy that you're back in one piece and probably even better now that you're part robot.
That's right.
And full of drugs.
Full of drugs. All right, so
robot in me now.
Yeah, there's nanobots inside all of us from the 5G. So let's get kicked off. Let's get deplatformed from our non-platforms, and we will talk to you all next week.
Peace.
Good night.
Rayfield Wright Foundation, which provided cocaine.